morning, everyone. Special welcome to the visitors here. Good to have you with us. Wish to greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. That first song we sang, I like that, Leland. Thank you for leading that. Who is like Jehovah God? Whom can we compare? The vastness of this mighty King, the Lord to whom we sing. Verse 4, it says, if we upon the Lord will wait. That's the challenge. If we upon the Lord will wait. When we are tired and worn, he'll lift us up on eagle's wings. This God to whom we sing. If we would just wait upon the Lord, he will renew our strength. I ask for your prayers this morning as we look into the Word. I was blessed by the service already. The challenge that Stanciano left us to love the Lord our God with all our heart. It was interesting to me how we tend to fill the church from the back forward and tend to leave the front empty. I hope that isn't a sign that we don't have a heart for God this morning. Trust that's a sign that we don't want to be the ones in the prominent front place, and that's a good heart too. For a message this morning, we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 7. It's a familiar story. It's kind of interesting, this message has a bit of a journey. It was one that I prepared, I don't know. I'm not even sure if it was possibly even before the beginning of this year. And somehow every time I went to preach it wasn't the right one. It got changed several times. One time the service got canceled because of snow and ice and so forth. And I feel like it's a message that I need in my own heart. It's a message that is serious, and I don't want it to be a negative message. It could be, but I don't want it to be that. I want it to be a message that opens our eyes to our lives, and in the end, that we put forth the effort we need to make the changes, as Ken talked about in his prayer, that the Spirit would speak to our hearts and we would make the changes that we need to make in our personal lives. In the Sunday school lesson, the focus that stood out to me, the phrase, God's people face a foe that is intent on their destruction. And again, I don't want this to be a message that is scary, but it is real. We face a foe, brothers and sisters, this morning in our Christian lives that is intent on our destruction. And I think of, after just going through a week of revivals, Satan is going to work even harder. And I just want to leave this as a challenge that we don't take up or just get slack in our Christian lives, that we are sincere in living for God and weeding out sin in our lives. It's real. We all face battles in our Christian lives. And some of them are less severe than others. Maybe you're a mom who struggles with being patient with your children. Maybe you're a grandmother who struggles with feeling lonely because all your children are grown and moved away to start their own homes. Perhaps you're a dad who maybe feels overwhelmed with the pressures of providing for your family and tend to get frustrated with your children when they disobey. Or maybe you're a young man who's struggling with lustful thoughts. Possibly you're a teenager who just feels unsure about your place and purpose in life. These are all battles that we face. And I don't know your struggles, but God does. He knows our hearts better than we do ourselves. Ephesians 6:12 stood out to me in the introduction here that I'd like to read. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." This story that we're going to read in Joshua 7 is a flesh and blood enemy. But today we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, evil forces, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, in the spirit world. Satan is busy. But there's many parallels in this physical battle, this flesh and blood battle that we're going to read about, and the battles in the spiritual sense that we face today. And there's lessons that we can learn from this. In Romans chapter 7, we're not going to read those verses, but Paul is talking about his inward struggle with sinful desires. The good that I want to do, that's not what I do. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing because of this carnal nature inside of me, he says. We can't change the fact that we have a sinful nature. But that doesn't mean we can't overcome sinful temptations. He says, "Who shall save me from this?" I forget those exact words in Romans chapter 7. "O wretched man," verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Through Jesus, the battles that we face can be conquered. Never lose sight of that hope. Through Jesus, the battles that we face can be conquered. In this chapter of Joshua, chapter 7, the title of the message I've chosen is Lessons from the Battle of AI. And no, we're not talking about artificial intelligence this morning. This is not about AI. This is the city of AI that we're going to talk about, or we're going to look at. I think we'll take the time to just go through and read this entire chapter. The context here is the Israelites are entering the Canaan land. We're fast forwarding a little bit from the Sunday school scope that we were looking at, and they're entering the Canaan land, and they crossed over the Jordan, and they conquered the first city, or the city of Jericho. And we see how God worked in that miraculously, how they circled the city and circled the city and followed God's directions. And when they were given the signal to give the shout, the walls just crumbled and fell. And the city was conquered. So they had just gone through this miraculous victory in their journey. In verse 1 in chapter 7, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the cursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai." So he sent some men out ahead to see what this city was like, and maybe to see what the territory looked like, how the hills were sloped, and coming up with a strategy for conquering the next city here. And they returned to Joshua in verse 3 and said unto him, "Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few." So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 30 and 6 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be the tribe with which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the households which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel." So Joshua rose up early in the morning, and brought Israel by their tribes. And the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and took the family of the Zarhites. And he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. Behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it, and they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones, and they raised a great heap over him, a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Satan was busy. He was working. heart of Achan and tempted him. And he fell into the temptation, and we see the destruction that became of it. I'd have 7 points that I'd like to pull from this chapter, from the lessons of the battle of Ai. And the first one that I want to point out is found in verses 2 and 3. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai to go and scope it out. Go up and view the land. And they come back to him and they said, not everybody needs to go. We only need about 2,000 or 3,000 people because there's not very many. And we know how they failed. The point that I'd like to bring from this, in facing temptations, if you think you've got this, be careful. If you think I've got this, be careful. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. When we feel like we're at a point in our lives that the temptations cannot get us, be careful. Because the time when we think that we can take this, we can take on our enemy, that's the time when we'll fall. The reality is, our success or your success in overcoming temptations depends on what you place your confidence in. I had to think of a verse in Psalms 27. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If we have the Lord as our light and our salvation, we don't have to be afraid of our enemy. But on our own, we are no match for the devil. It says in verse 3 that though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And though a war should rise against me, in this will I be confident, that is in the Lord as his salvation. I trust that is our confidence today. We need to place our confidence in the Lord Jesus and not on our own strength. And again, I don't want to come across as being discouraging, but the reality is, sometimes, especially in severe temptations or tests that we face, no amount of resolution or personal resolve is enough. We need the power of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus as Lord of our life to be able to overcome. On our own, we will fail. Another thing I'd like to point out in this, as just a practical application, avoid even getting close to your points of temptation. Maybe things are spiraling out of control. Take the time to step aside and pray. Maybe your temper is flaring. Close your mouth. Maybe there's a magazine rack at the end of the aisle at the grocery store that has lustful pictures on it. Go the next aisle. Don't get close to it. Maybe there's a billboard on your way to work. Go an extra mile to go around and avoid it. But at all costs, we need to avoid getting close to our points of temptation. When we know that we're tempted in a certain area, place your confidence in God and do your part and stay away from that point of temptation. Flee the appearance of evil. The second point that I'd like to look at is found in verses 4 through 9. In Joshua 7 here, it says, the people got together about 3,000, and they went to battle this little town of Ai, and they lost. They fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote about 36 men, and they chased them from the gate of the city. I don't know how far it was, but they chased them, and the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And we know how Joshua fell to the earth, and he cried out to the Lord. He said, this is going to get around, and everybody's going to surround us, and we're going to be wiped off from the face of the earth. The point that I'd like to bring out of this, number two here, is fear brings defeat. Fear will bring defeat. 1 John 4, verse 4, we have this promise. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The forces of evil are real, and they're powerful. But God is all-powerful. You know, in life, Satan will try to put doubt into our hearts, to shake our faith and our trust in God. Another verse in 1 John 5, 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It talks about the assurance that if we believe in the name of the Son of God, and Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we can know that we have assurance of salvation. Satan will try to put doubt in your heart and your mind sometimes. Claim that promise. If you've given your heart to the Lord, and you're trying to live for Him, Satan cannot take that away from you. Another powerful tool that Satan will use sometimes to defeat us is discouragement. And it's a powerful tool. It really is. I remember facing this, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago. It seemed the load in life was high. And I don't know, for some reason I just felt a blackness around me, and I couldn't shake it. I couldn't get rid of it. And it went a couple days, and finally, one morning, I just got on my knees. I said, Lord, free me from this. Show me what I need to do to get rid of this. And you know, I felt the Spirit prompting my heart and pointing to the problem. It was in my own heart. To make it short, to the point, it was self-pity. I was pitying myself because of circumstances in life that were out of my control instead of trusting in God. You know, a lot of times, I want to be careful how I say this, but in my experience, a lot of times, discouragement stems from unbelief or a lack of a complete trust in God. And I'm not saying that when we're discouraged, we're sinners. We're sinning in that. No, I'm not saying that. But let's reach out to God and don't let Satan put fear and discouragement in our hearts. And I want to also highlight that it is a blessing to have brothers and sisters in a congregation who care. When we can relate to other believers in our times of discouragement, we can find victory a lot of times through that. Another tool, as I mentioned, that Satan uses is self-pity. And really at the core, I believe self-pity sometimes is just simply a form of selfishness or a lack of a surrendered will. It might seem a little strong, but a lot of times at the core, self-pity is just that. It's pitying self. It's a form of selfishness. In Hebrews 4, verse 16, I just want to highlight this verse on this point of fear brings defeat. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can always come to the throne of grace when we face this fear. Another thing I'd like to highlight in this as well, Brother Marvin had a message on the fear of God. You know, a proper fear of God will eliminate our fear of Satan. A proper fear of God will eliminate our fear of Satan. The third point, is found in verses 10 through 12. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get up, don't just lay here. Israel has sinned, and there's something hidden in the camp. There is sin in the camp, and I will not, let me find those words. In other words, I will not be with you. I will not. You will not overcome until you have gotten rid of this. The point in this I'd like to make with number three here is that hidden sin will separate us from the power of God. Hidden sin will separate us from the power of God. Because of Achan's sin, the battle against Ai was lost. Because God was not with them. I also want to be careful that I want to be clear that not every time we falter, necessarily when we're faced with a temptation, not every time that we falter does it mean that we have hidden sin in our lives. But it is certain that any time that we have a hidden sin in our life, we will ultimately fail. Because the power of God is not with us. It takes humility and it takes courage to confess our hidden sins. But brothers and sisters, it is the only way to find victory. Because if we hide it, in the end, we will fail. Hidden sin will always separate us from the power of God. Number four, found in verses 20 through 21. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a weight of gold, a 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. That phrase, then I coveted them. Our love for sin will keep us from overcoming temptation. Our love for sin will keep us from overcoming temptation. I know sin can be so enticing. Satan can paint a picture and make it look so enticing. That's how he did in the Garden of Eden. It says that in Genesis 3, verse 6, that Eve saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. It looked good. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, and she took of it and she ate it. I think of a song or a verse in a song, a chorus. I forget who the songwriter was. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. and sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. Always remember that. That leads us to the point number 5. And that is, sin always ends in destruction. Sin will always end in destruction. And we see how Achan and his family was destroyed and everything they had. That's why confessing and repenting of our sins is so important. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It may not happen immediately, but in the end, in Judgment Day, sin will always end in destruction. The 6th point that I have, we're going to jump ahead a little bit to chapter 8. And we're going to see what happened that after the sin was taken out of the camp. We'll just read the first few verses here. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of the war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it." So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and this time they took 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And it talks about the strategy that God had for them. They were to, part of them was supposed to go to the gate and lure the people out of the city, and the rest were in ambush behind the city, and they came out and burnt the city when everybody was out. And when the enemy saw that they were surrounded, people of Israel conquered them. The point that I'd like to bring out, this number 6, when we follow God's plan, then we will win the battle. When we follow God's plan is when we can win the battle. So often we try our own agenda or our own strategy, but we fail. Time and time again, when we try our own agenda, that's when we fail. God sees things from a higher perspective than what we can. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, he says, "My thoughts are high, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God sees things from an eternal and a heavenly perspective. Today, our enemy is not people. Our enemy is Satan. He's the enemy of our souls. In our own strength, in our own wisdom, we are no match for our enemy. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he tells us to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We have a formidable foe, an enemy that we are no match for. But through Jesus Christ, through the blood of the covenant, we can find victory and we can overcome. Let's read a few verses out of Ephesians chapter 6. We'll look at, start at verse 10 and we'll read to 18. Says, "Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same will he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. I'm sorry, I started at verse 8. This is the verse I wanted to start at. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We'll stop there. I'm not going to go into detail on the whole armor of God, but we need the whole armor of God to be able to withstand the devil. Again, in 1 Peter 5, it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Place your faith, confidence, and trust in God. The seventh point is actually found in Revelation 21, verse 7. Revelation chapter 21. And verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The point is, the reward for overcoming is worth fighting for. Don't ever lose sight of that. The reward for overcoming is worth fighting for. I think of the song, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. The burden on my heart, brothers and sisters, this morning is that we all would stand strong when we're faced with temptations. Don't let Satan deceive you. Don't let him put fear in your heart. Put your confidence in God and stand. Because it's not easy, but the point that I just want to stress this morning is that it's worth the fight. No matter what you face in life, no matter what your circumstances are, through Jesus Christ, you can overcome. Let's kneel for